Hey, what's cracking, guys? It's your man Animal Brown checking in. Unfortunately, you guys know by now the situation that happened. If you see an emergency pod hit your feed, you know it's probably not a good thing. Of course, joined here by Spike Lou. What's good, sir?
Hey, how is it going? Appreciate everybody tapping in under these unforeseen, unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, man.
To offer some perspective, being the Southern hip hop voices in this space. Of course, you guys know we're talking about the passing, untimely death of Memphis artist Young Dolph. And we wanted to tap in and give you guys about 15, 20 minutes just on what we thought about it and some of the takeaways that we got.
Yeah, man. Everybody knows by now, happened yesterday in South Memphis where Dolph is from. He was at a popular a cookie store that he frequented that he actually big upped about a week ago on social media. Some people came through, shot up the store, including him, obviously. And it was confirmed yesterday that it was him. A lot of misinformation out there on social media, a lot of speculation. We're not in the business of that. If you've been listening to us, you know how we get down. We don't really tap into all that. But in your opinion, there's been a lot of love on social media, which is great. What came to mind for you when you first saw this news, this unfortunate event?
A lot of love, rightfully so. Dolph was real respected in his section, and the independent crown, he held that down. I was on Twitter and I seen, you start to seeing those tweets. Oh, I can't believe this.
Say it ain't
nah,
Southern.
Fam. I got to hear it from somewhere else. And I sent to the group chat because I hadn't heard it. So I asked y'all. And shout out my guy, Big Jeff. He responded and said, they're saying that Dolph got shot or killed.
Yep.
And reading that when he sent it to me, I wish it would be as surprising when someone like Nip passed. Or even shit King Von, because he was so young. But seeing that, reading that, and then processing it, it was like, yeah, I mean, I could see that happening. Not to say that wishing it on him or not any of that, but knowing where he's from, like you said, Memphis, and how they get down, and just the long track record that he's had in the industry with different parties that he's opposed to, when I read that, I was like, I wasn't like, oh no, absolutely not. I can't believe it. TMZ got to report this. Like, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Damn.
I ain't gonna lie. The very first thing I thought was like, I immediately thought of the other two incidents where niggas done tried to kill dude, bro. Mm-hmm. That's the very first thing I thought about. And that's two incidents that we know of, you know what I'm saying? Since he's been on. And so, to what you're saying, not to sound insensitive, but I know what you mean when you say you weren't quote unquote surprised or shocked because of the previous incidents that have happened. And so it's somebody clearly had it out for him. You know what I'm saying? This wasn't a botched robbery. It doesn't look like anything to be such of that. It looked like people had that on their mind, what they was trying to do. And it reminds me, it gives me a little bit of Mo3 and it gives me a little bit of Pop Smoke, meaning, and I think you might you actually put this in the chat too, of him at the cookie store the week before, same one, Dolo, no security.
7 days earlier.
A couple of days earlier, nothing. And like, damn, were people waiting on him to come back? That reminded me of Pop Smoke when he accidentally posted his address online with the ice and the money, phone and all of that stuff. And that's why people came and tried to get him. But then it reminded me of the Mo3 thing, because those people he was a target for those people specifically in broad daylight, similar to this. So it just, it's unfortunate though. You hate that it happened. But to say it was left field or it was shocking, if you've been following it, I wouldn't call it that. It's unfortunate as fuck, though.
A lot of this rap stuff is fake. Like, we hear it all the time. We hear niggas is quote unquote real niggas, street niggas, and come from different backgrounds. And man, these rappers ain't real. And as you speak of a Mo3 Dolph situations, this is those guys clearly had beef with other people, made diss songs.
Yeah.
But where the lines get blurred and you like, well, it's a real nigga and this ain't, and this street stuff and this is not. When Dolph ain't like, when it ain't making 100 shots to the songs about the people that he was dissing on Mo3, like they got a regular lives. They got children, they got kids, they go buy cookies for their moms at the store. And the difference between just like regular street shit and those people in the spotlight, like somebody's, I feel like, always got an eye on you, because people are going to notice you before you notice them just because you're more popular.
Absolutely.
So it's always dangerous in these spaces when you're talking about beef and you're making diss songs and you are really street people in rap and you like got real street shit going on, like Dolph or Mo3 had. So it always is dangerous, and it's looked upon, or should be looked upon, by real niggas and people in the streets to say these two things ain't the same. Like when Dolph making diss songs, like, you got to be more careful than a nigga like Kanye West or Drake. Like Kanye said on Drake Show, like, we professional rappers, like me and Drake. Ain't nobody going to get hurt.
Yeah, right.
Now, Dolph is an independent rapper. He's not as professional as Kanye West, but I mean, he's a professional rapper. He made money from it.
And a very successful.
Very successful. Artist. Just not as popular. Just not as, I can't have $1 million worth of security around with me all the time. I still fuck with my people in South Memphis, and I'm going to pull up at the cookie spot. But can I do that and make diss songs about niggas and still be in the streets? That's the question that keeps raring its ugly head.
But what's crazy is the last two shootings, for those that don't remember, one happened in Charlotte and the other happened in Los Angeles in LA. Fucking Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's not as if.
At events, though. Remember, like these things, like it was a
CIAA was in Charlotte.
Yeah, it's CIAA or whatever it may be, and there was an event, like an award show or something going on in LA when this happened. Like everybody was out in LA when this happened.
Okay,
because all the people were talking about it, and those were two areas. Like, well, we know that nigga gonna be here.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it ain't no thing where all we caught him slipping.
That's true.
Just like with the cookie thing, all you was here 7 days earlier. Like, this your spot. Somebody know you in Memphis, somebody in the scene, you in town earlier today, we gonna chill over here, because at some point in time, we know when you in the city, you come through here, and then we gonna hop on it.
And he was in town this week, and this is the irony of all of this, he was in town this week for multiple turkey drives that he had scheduled. He had a turkey drive scheduled yesterday at 2:00. This happened at about 1:00.
Probably was headed that way.
So it's, and you pull out the big boy whip, because like it's probably kids out there. Like, so he and I forgot what kind of whip. I don't know if that's the Lamb or if that's the Rari. I'm not a car guy like that, but it's wrapped in camo. He infamously had all of his cars wrapped in camo, and they're very distinguishable. You know what I'm saying? Because obviously you don't see a camo Lamborghini every day. You know what I'm saying? So it can make you an easy target if someone has bad intentions and they're looking for you. Remember the Pac and Big story, where allegedly the shooters were looking for him and they couldn't find him until they heard some girls scream, "Look at Tupac." And they looked and they was hanging out the window. And they were like, "Oh, there you go." Mm-hmm. So it's like you hate to see it come to that, but it makes you, if you're trying to be low, man, then that type of whip.
That's the thing.
He probably felt comfortable, bro. He was on that side of town. We know how this hood shit go, bro. Right. You stay on your side of town and you don't really have anything to worry about. What you got to worry about is when you go on another nigga's side of town that you're not fucking with, because most of the time other niggas that fuck with that nigga is on that side of town not fucking with you either. So you stay on your side.
Right. And I was just here too.
That's what I'm
saying. Not only is this my side of town, I was just over here. Nothing happened. I was chilling. Just like with Nipsey at the store. It's my spot.
That's his
shit. I own this, bro. Like, who would come up here on some sideways shit?
Yep.
Or even like with Pac. Like, I'm the biggest rapper in the world, bro. Like, I just left a Tyson fight, dude. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I can jump a nigga in the lobby. Nothing's going to happen to me. Yeah, and I don't even necessarily think it's the invincibility. It's more comfortability.
Right. Like, I agree.
Being comfortable in your skin and where you at. And some of the things that had me thinking, just naming those people in those situations, was like, what we don't really deal with in our community, I'm talking about black men, especially, not just all black people, just men, is ego. Yeah. And what made me think about ego in this situation, you can go to Nip, when he felt like he had to tell the guy, hey, man, you a snitch. I don't want you around here.
Yeah.
Or you can go to Tupac and you can say, well, Lil, let's go jump this dude that took my homeboy chain. I got to be a part of that because you can't do that to us.
I got
to
lead that.
Yeah, I got to lead that. Or I'm big.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be in Cali, bro. I'm big. Nigga, I can go to Cali. What y'all talking about? Pac dead. I'm going to Cali.
Yeah.
Or with Dolph. Nah, don't make no song like that, bro. Like, you shouldn't go that far with them people. Fuck that. Nigga, I'm the king of Memphis. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of ego in those situations where things can maybe play out different if people take a look at that, black men especially, take a look at it and say, well, what am I doing this for? I beat this nigga ass, I get this chain back, so what? People gonna think I'm tougher? I'm Nipsey Hussle. I tell this nigga, like, you can't shop here because you a snitch. What if you do shop there? What happens? You know? I hope that's not being dismissive of it, because I don't want to be come off that way. But I think one of the things that when we start talking about, well, fixing this, and I seen a lot of black on black crime stuff, and I saw a lot of gun laws were passed, and like, I don't think that has a lot to do with it. It has more so to do with how much that we respect each other is just black men. I'm removing everybody else from it, just us in general.
Yeah,
like, there are conversations that can be had, and there are you can listen to with open ears and be like, man, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I can be the lesser nigga this time. If it means, like Dolph, like the caption I keep seeing, black men living longer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe I ain't got to do these songs. Maybe I ain't got to be the nigga to check this nigga, because I got more to live for. I can hop in my car. That nigga can go in there and shop, do whatever he need to do. I don't care that nigga stole your chain, bro. Like, I'm Pac, bro. I got to go do this and I got to go do that. And I got a lot more to do 15, 20 years from now, as opposed to jumping a nigga in the lobby. But we not taught that, though. Like, we taught as black men, like, you got to be tough, because that's mostly all we have. Like, a lot of other people in other societies, other fact, like, they have like thing, like white people, black people, all people have things, but black people, black men especially, we got our macho-ness. It's my hood, nigga. I'm this, nigga. I'm tough. I'm this and I'm that. And we're starting to see it play out where, like, a toughness really don't mean shit. They don't mean nothing unless you, like, you're willing to die for it. And why are you willing to die to be tough?
Yeah, the reason that we're able to speak from the perspective of the people that we're speaking of is because we know that they're the bigger, more known entity. We know what Pac was thinking. Well, not what he was thinking, but we know the perspective he was coming from when he did what he did. We know the perspective that Nipsey was coming from when he. And so we're able to speak a little bit more to that, because we don't know what the other people were thinking, and they're not well known. We don't know.
We're familiar with their situation.
We're not familiar with their situation, their background, the whole nine. So that's not letting, obviously, that's just for anybody to think, that's not letting them off the hook. It's just that we don't know who these were celebrities that we're talking about. We've been listening to them. We've been following them. We've been reading interviews, listening to interviews. We know where they from. We know all of this shit, you know what I'm saying, about these celebrities, but not so much what, you know, the people that ended up taking their lives. So obviously ego plays a part in that as well. You know what I'm saying? Niggas can't take L's no more. They can't just be called a snitch and go home. Like, it just, it can't end there. It can't, you know, so you know how that's a whole nother.
Right. I'm glad you pointed that out, because I ain't necessarily just speaking to the celebrity either. It's the both parts of it. Like, nigga can't take, oh, Nipsey called me a snitch, go back to the car with his girl and drive off and go home. I got to go get my strap. I got to come back and show nigga. I'm killing Nipsey for calling me a snitch.
Yep.
Or nigga.
Whether I am or not.
Hey, whether I am or not, I'm putting the call in on Pac. Nigga just stumped me out in the middle of the MGM Grand. Nigga, let's go kill this nigga. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, when you think about that really ain't even. And somebody challenged me on this when I was talking about this earlier. I don't think that's in any other culture but ours. Mm. Like, I'm riding out to go kill a nigga, especially once you've reached a certain level of success. Like, you don't see niggas like Dolph or Nipsey Hussle, people who are as successful in other ethnicities. Man, that word just killed me. Yeah, but people who are that as successful as them being murdered. Not about people that look like them. Not because of a beef.
No.
Like, it usually doesn't happen.
Well, the environments they come from are usually different than the one. There's a common thread.
Right.
It's the environment traditionally. Not all the time, obviously. But that's a common thread, though, which to the lady, and you're referring to the lady that was on the news that said that the new, you know, saying the new gun law in Memphis was passed in July or June.
Walking around with guns.
It's making it a lot easier for people to have access to guns as if they needed any more access. This is just making it easier. And so that's what you're referring to. And I've seen, you know, I've seen arguments for both sides. And I think it comes down to accountability as well as the environment, the things that are going on and in place to make sure that people continue to do dumb shit. I just think it enables it. I think people are accountable, and I think the system needs to be fixed so that less of this happens. So I think it's two-sided.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree with her assessment. Like, she ain't wrong. I don't know if that's necessarily the issue, but she's not wrong.
It's a issue.
Her Jamel, huh?
It's a issue, right.
Jamel Hill also commented and kind of went deeper into it as far as that. And I don't disagree that that is an issue, but there's also a deeper issue too. And it was a quote that I read that stuck with me, and I just wanted to throw it out to see what you thought about it. It says, "Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent." And that struck with me because it feels like you spoke to the backgrounds of these people. They're not the same as the rest or other people. And they're coming from incompetent backgrounds where everything that they were provided or need wasn't necessarily there. So we had to get it out of the mud. We made ourselves successful, but that still doesn't necessarily leave behind their resentment that they had to do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of us walk around with that resentment. And that's why there's so much anger. And that's why there's so much, oh, you can't disrespect me. You know what I had to do? You know what I get through to get here? Yeah. Let you play with me. Whether it's somebody as successful as Nipsey or as the nigga that had shot him. I ain't gonna let that nigga disrespect me. I had all this resentment built up in me. I had to do this and do that. You don't know what they were trying to do to me.
Yeah.
And just coming from incompetent situations, just coming from situations where you don't have the resources to know that violence is not the answer. And that sounds cliche, but I think as a subset of people, us as black men, we're the last people to get that, understand that. Like, violence ain't the answer, especially if you're talking about killing a nigga.
Yeah.
If you're talking about taking somebody from their family, their mom, their dad, their kids. And yeah, I mean, some people are disrespectful when they do stuff, but how is it in our culture that we're the ones black, man, I'm killing that nigga if he did that to me?
And
it happens as much everywhere else. Am I wrong?
I mean, listen, it comes across my radar more because I pay more attention to this and when it has to do with people that look like me. But the thing that gets me is I don't understand how people think that they can do stuff like this in 2021 and they're not going to get caught almost immediately. Bro, I've seen just two HD pictures of the niggas on one of the 12 cameras on the block, dude. Like, bro.
They going to be famous, though. They don't care. And that's the thing that, like, let's go to what I'm talking about. Like, them niggas don't care. They hood famous now. When they go get locked up, I killed Dolph.
That's, you know what I'm saying?
Like, and unfortunately, some niggas live for that. Like, Boosie talked about this.
Mm.
Like, niggas in your hometown, this niggas just want to make a name off of you. I ain't got no other talent in the world, my nigga, other than I hate you and I'm gonna be the nigga that took you out. So forever, when they say your name, they gonna say mine because I took you out. Some niggas think like that. That's sick.
Yeah, that's a whole nother level of I don't know what that is. That's some deep shit, but it's unfortunate, man. Luckily, you know, Dolph being independent owned his masters. So thankfully his family, I know he had two kids. I saw people saying that he was married. I didn't personally know that. I know he had a family, you know what I mean? So, you know, they should receive a lot of that, if not all of that. So that's always a good thing that they'll be good. I've seen reports that say he owned a lot of properties in the Memphis area. We also saw some of the speculation online about other artists, families getting shot at, all of that, man. None of that shit has been confirmed, man. A lot of that shit has been capped. Social media is the worst when it comes to shit like that, which is why people didn't want to believe the initial report to begin with, because of shit like that. People jumping on there, spewing shit and don't know what the fuck they talking about. It's some slaughter. It's tragic as fuck.
Yeah. And, before we go, because we just wanted to touch on it, let people know what we thought is On Deck TV. What did you think to kind of end it on a lighter note with the same subject with Soulja Boy dropped a song because apparently they had some beef, but Trouble responded and was like, well, that's not in good taste.
Yeah.
And then him and Soulja Boy kind of spat back and forth.
Oh, no, it was just Soulja Boy. Trouble only said one thing.
Wait, he responded, didn't he? I thought he responded and said, I'm what you looking for or something like that.
Oh, I ain't see that.
He responded to him and told him, this what you looking for, my nigga. Okay. That's what you want to do. I'm the nigga that you looking for, is what he told him.
Well, where it came from was Soulja Boy. Obviously, we know Soulja Boy went on Breakfast Club the other day because he had a back and forth with Dolph and Key Glock. And then he goes on Breakfast Club and does his Soulja Boy thing, puts his act on, stands up in the chair, screams in the mic. He does his thing when the cameras are on. It was clearly putting on, talking shit just like he did Drake, just the same way. So fast forward, and this happens, and yesterday he posts a song that he had already
before that. Did you see the video circling around where the he acted like he was giving a nigga 100 racks for the address?
I did see that. Yeah, I saw that too. And then he put a song on his Instagram story called like Stretched or Body Stretched or something like that.
Or something like it.
Yeah, something like that. As if like to imply, like again, in my opinion.
Imply that nigga I did this. Just like the video with the 100K to imply it like I did this. So here's the thing with that for me.
And Trouble called him out on it.
Facts. Now here's the thing with that for me. Trouble's a street dude. From all collective purposes that I've ever heard in my life, he's a street dude. Soulja Boy isn't.
Right.
I don't play with people, kids, dude. And Trouble shouldn't either. Like, Soulja Boy is a grown kid. He's been famous since he was 18 years old. He never really had to acclimate to society. He don't know how to act like an adult. He's used to people adjusting to him. He's not used to adjusting to people. All he knows is internet fame. All he knows is like getting rich off that. And like, so this is a thing for him. He not even taking in consideration a man died, his family, into that. Like, Trouble's trying to be reasonable. Like, hey, bro, you might need to calm down.
For sure.
Ain't no need for that. Fuck Soulja Boy. You let him do him. You let kids be kids, especially in grown-up situations like this. So if I'm Trouble, I'm not even reaching out and starting that, because now you got two more black men as beef. Like, it went to Soulja Boy. Oh, like, nigga, you can be next and this and that. Okay, blah, blah. But with that being said, it goes to show the immaturity of someone like Soulja Boy and what they're looking for. Like, as a culture, you can easily be dismissed by us just not paying attention to you. You don't make relevant music. This is distasteful. So nobody has to check you. You don't have to be responded to. You're just going to float away by the wayside for being a bum ass nigga for saying and doing the shit that you were doing around this. So I do disagree with Trouble having feel like he had to come out and check him. I know he feel like he riding for his homeboy or not, but some kid shit, you just got to let kids do it.
Well, Soulja Boy's not a kid no more, though. So
great point. I feel like he is. He never grew up out of a kid. Now, I'm not saying his age. I'm saying his mentality.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a big kid. Like, that shit that he get up there and do on Breakfast Club, and like, that's kid shit to me. Like, you're a kid. I laugh at you because I'm looking at you like a child. So I'm never going to take into consideration what you say is like, hey, man, I might need to check you, bro. Like, it's Soulja Boy, dude. You're a fucking kid to me. And
he's got a platform, though, bro.
He does.
That's
and he's
problem.
Able, he can do whatever he wants to on his platform. I agree with that. And I'm not saying that no one should have checked him. I'm just saying if I'm Trouble, if it plays out the way that it did, like, why? What do you get from this? Now you got to go beat up Soulja Boy? That goes to the whole point about the ego, what I'm talking about. You could just leave it alone. And like, I promise you, niggas like that handle themselves. They're going to fizzle out. Like, regardless if you got a platform or not, people not going to keep fucking with you when you do fuck shit. Like, the universe works itself out. It may not come as quick as you want it, but I promise you it does. And niggas like Soulja Boy, it happens to them. Like, you can't play with fate this long and it don't happen to you. It's going to happen to them. And if I'm Trouble, I know that.
Yeah.
I can't go back and forth with a nigga about this shit, especially a nigga like Soulja Boy. It make me look like I'm not. Nah.
I will say another quick tie-in before we get out of here was the obviously we know Dolph had issues with Yo Gotti. For people that remember, Yo Gotti tried to sign Dolph. Dolph said no thanks, but no thanks. And then, you know,
more than that. That's how the beef got.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, there was some war. It was a war of words. A female may have been involved. Man, who knows? But they ended up falling out, and disses were exchanged. Some were blatant, some were subs. And so, of course, naturally, when something like this happens, a lot of people going to look. Well, actually, people looked at Yo Gotti when it happened in Charlotte or and they looked at CMG like, what y'all doing? What y'all got going on? And so Gotti, whose album comes out next week, he has a double disc coming out next week, was actually set to do a live interview yesterday afternoon at about 5 o'clock, live on, I want to say, like Twitch or some shit. And they ended up canceling it, which I saw coming a mile away, because it would have been high. If you look at Gotti's comments right now on his latest post, they are in shambles. So a live would have been, it would have been hijacked, bro. It would have been dumb awkward. He would have been forced to say some shit that he probably didn't mean. And it would have looked, it would have been a terrible play. He would have looked, he would have been out there like a sitting duck. Nobody would have gave a damn about the album that he had coming out, because people only would have wanted answers. As if he, that nigga probably in New York somewhere, dude. Like, he probably in fucking at iHeart, nigga, getting ready for this interview, nigga. So it just, it would have been a, it would have been a wild look if he would have done that. But that shit is crazy.
It would have, you're right. But however, if I'm your guy, I'm not canceling nothing. Like, I would love for you, iHeart, to say, hey, man, a lot of stuff going on today. Let's reschedule this. I'm open to it. But if I'm your guy, I'm offering my condolences. Sorry to happen to his family. We keep it moving. Yeah, I'm not.
And I can see an artist or your Gotti thinking that, though, for sure. And that's the reason why you have a team that you consult, because they are paid to look at all angles. Because just because you're a good artist, just because you're a good businessman, if you're the smartest nigga in the room, then you in the wrong room. And so I would hope that he surrounds himself with people smarter than him in specific areas. And if he thinks that's a good idea to go on, then public relations is not his area. He can make a hit, but he doesn't know public relations if he thinks that that's a good idea. And he may think that, but again, that's why you pay people six figures to tell you, hey, that's not the move, bro. Why not? Because of this. Oh, okay. All right. I'd listen to y'all. I pay y'all $100,000 to tell me this shit. Fair enough.
Should he delay his album?
Man, that's on the table, dude. Like, I ain't even gonna lie, bro.
Really?
It's too hot.
What's the press release behind delaying your album?
It depends on how many details are ironed out between now and then. If things are still murky and they don't know who it was involved and what was the motive, and if they don't know any of that by Monday, then you need to push the album back. But if things clear up by Monday and it's clear who did what their purpose was, and ain't got shit to do with you. I seen Boosie push his album back. He said, man, out of respect for Dolph, I'm going to push my album back.
But they were friends, though.
Right? Yeah, and these niggas were enemies. So you need to do the same thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand the point that you're making, but also I think that there's a different way to look at it from Yo Gotti, where, like, if I know I didn't have anything to do with this, and I'm, again, as a black man, I feel sorry that the man lost his life and the family lost their father. But if this is like, I don't fuck with dude, like, I'm not changing my day. Like, this was, like you said, this was my enemy. Like, niggas allegedly have, like, the 100 shots, the diss songs.
They didn't fuck with each other. They didn't.
Right. We've been getting to it. So, yeah. Unfortunately, he lost his life, as far as what Yo Gotti was saying. But delaying an album and stuff like that to me is going to start looking insincere. Now, if I'm the police, I'm going to look further into you. This is my opinion. I may be wrong there.
Yeah,
no. Nah, I'm thinking that it, like, I got to keep it business as usual. And I don't think he had anything to do with it. And I got to operate like I didn't have anything to do with it. Canceling albums, starting canceling shows make me look sketch.
No, not really. It don't. That's like saying, because Boosie canceled it, nigga, that looks sketch. No.
Again, they friends, though. They're friends.
It like, still wouldn't look sketch, even if they didn't know each other. It wouldn't. It just looks like you're just letting it breathe a little bit. You're just letting things cool off. You let things simmer. We didn't know Gotti had a double. Most people didn't even know he had an album coming out next week, dude. The nigga hasn't promoted it. There's no single. It's not as if he had a $1 million rollout leading up to now, dude. Like, nobody knew this, bro. He just announced it like a day ago.
Yeah, it was just like 2 days ago.
That's what I'm saying. He put one trailer up 2 days ago, dude. I promise it's not. It's okay. He need to push that back just to let the smoke clear, bro. I'm telling you, PR, Rock Nation, Hov, niggas is in his ear like, you might want to sit this one out, especially if there's anything on that album that could be perceived as a diss. Especially that. Not saying that there is, that he may be way past this shit. That nigga buying soccer teams and shit.
Yeah, he's
he may not be
like
thinking about dude, bro, but yeah. It doesn't matter. It's the perception. It's nobody cares about reality, bro. It's what the perception is, how it looks.
What
we
it
being
look like.
100. That's all.
That's true. That's 100% fact. I'm interested to see how that part play out. That, we disagree there. I just want to see how that works. We'll talk about that Tuesday.
For sure, man. For sure. But man, rest in peace to Dolph. A friend of the show. And people don't remember. Well, yeah, listen, day one.
Dolph interview.
Day oneers of On Deck know that young Dolph has been on the show. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, that original feed that we had from that first year has been taken off of the streaming platform. So we could not find the episode two because we were going to replay it. We couldn't find it. But if you're from Atlanta or if you live in Atlanta, do you know about Snowmageddon a couple of years ago? It was that same day. True. Dolph kept his word and still did the interview, even though we were under 30 feet of snow in Atlanta, dude. Mm-hmm. So he still did the interview, bro. So it's,
man.
I'm gonna try to find it, man. I don't know. It may be on a hard drive over here somewhere. I have no idea. I'm gonna try to find it and post it for y'all. But triple salute to Dolph, man. People are remembering him by his good deeds, which I think is amazing. I remember when he gave the two Duke University workers $20,000 on stage because they got fired.
Yeah, that was my favorite Dolph moment.
Yeah, they got fired for playing his music, and he brought them down to Rolling Loud and gave them money on stage. Man, super dope. He did the promo for the free Lambo for one of his albums, and he gave the Lambo, and the person sold the Lambo, and he wrote back, "Man, get paid." He wasn't hating or nothing over that shit, dude. He was like, "Fuck it, I ain't mad." Like, he's done a lot of good charitable things. I remember he also did another contest where he gave a fan could choose between a Hellcat and $30,000, and the fan took $30,000, and he gave him the $30,000 cash right there on the spot. So he was very charitable with his efforts, bro. And he always big up Memphis, man. So it's, you hate to see anything negative happen to him, but it just hits just that much harder when it happens in the same place that he given so much back to. So it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is, man. RIP to Young Dolph. Condolences to his family. Condolences to all the people whose life he was impacting, man. Lost a good one.
Absolutely, man. Hey, until the next time, man, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled program next week, guys.
We out.
Yes, sir.